We're in Psalm number 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. So when we look at the first few verses, we see this question that David's asking, how long? And the first question is general, how long, O Lord? And this is not really necessarily something that David's looking to God for a specific unit of time. Lord, how many days, how many hours, how many minutes until you deliver me? But what we can see is that this is more of an expression of a feeling. This has been a long time that I'm under this trial, under the gun of whatever we're going through. And we see, even in the short psalm, the context is enemies, as it often is for David. And we'll talk more about those enemies, but this is the issue at hand. This is what is giving David trial. This is what is causing David to run to the Lord and ask these questions. How long? So there's a sense in that this David's endurance is sort of spent. We're kind of at the end of this. I'm running out. I'm desperate. Are we there yet? You know, as a kid, my ass went a long trip. I don't know what I'm going to do. How long? How much longer? He says, will you forget me forever? So it feels to David as if God has forgotten him. And this is a difficult thing. I think every Christian can relate at some point or another to a feeling, even though we know it's not so. We know that God will never leave or forsake his people. That's just something we know as his children and from his word. But that doesn't mean it can't feel like God is not turning his attention or his intention towards us in a moment, in a trial, as we move through circumstances in life, as we have the devil and principalities seeking to destroy us and lie to us constantly, that it can feel like you've been forgotten by God. And then he says, how long will you hide your face from me? Forgetting is one thing. That almost seems like a little bit of an innocent negligence. Now, we know God's not really doing this. He hasn't really forgotten David. And he hasn't really hidden his face forever to never help David again. We know that is not so. And David knows that's not so, as we'll see. But doesn't mean it doesn't feel like it's going on right now, that God's hiding. God's not looking at me. So while forgetting may seem like negligence, hiding feels intentional. So David says, feels like you forgot about me. It feels like you're hiding. You're not looking at me on purpose. And that feels worse than even forgetting. There's an implication here that when God turns from us and doesn't look at us and doesn't give us as much grace as he did yesterday, or even if it just feels like that, that the Christian is undone. And that is true. And you see that here, almost like if you were to turn your face towards me, I would be okay. I'd be set aright. I would not be undone as I am now. But I'm undone because you're not looking at me. Look how dependent the Christian is from this verse on God and his gaze and his grace and his goodness. Verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Those times when we feel as though God is not attentive to us. David's left here to take counsel in his own soul. And what is that getting him but sorrow daily? Without God, we can't reason our way, use rationale or logic to get out of our complex trials or situations. We can't make things happen on our own. Left to our own emotions and feelings that are deceiving, our own wisdom to solve our problems, planning our own escape without God's answer results in just our own counsel and the best of our own wisdom, which can be very deceiving and can cause us to make really wrong decisions to try to get out of the clutch of the enemy or the trial of avoiding sin or the world's persecution or whatever it may be. But in these situations, in verse 2, David and us, we need to hear from God. We need God's counsel. We need God's truth. We need see this desperation. It feels like you're hiding from me. And all I have left to do is just to talk to myself about this. And I need to hear from you. And all I'm doing talking to myself is walking around every day in sorrow. I'm in darkness without you. I need your counsel. I need your attention. Then he says, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? So here we see the first context of what David is so much struggling with and in darkness about, feeling like God is far from him. And he says, the way I see it, my enemy at this moment is winning. The enemy is winning. They're exalted over me. They're lifted higher than me, your servant. And we see a little bit, as we've talked about many times in this church, a little bit of a strategy, I hate to use that word, to pray. Strategy is if we're going to trick God into, he knows our thoughts and our needs before we even pray. But this yet is in here in this prayer. How long will you allow this enemy to be exalted over your servant? And this is a good way to pray because not that we have anything good in ourselves, but the enemy of the Christian is the enemy of God. And to say, Lord, this enemy is getting over on your servant, getting over on your work. For that to be the case and that to be the end of the story would be for God's work to be undone. And so we can pray like this. We can pray, Lord, prevent this enemy from getting over on me, from winning against me, lest they win against you. Lest they overcome your work. Surely your work will not be undone. How long, Lord, will my enemy win against me and thus win against you? And this enemy here, I think, is broad enough in application. We know doesn't say what enemy was following Saul at the Saul David at the moment. Could have been Saul, could have been Absalom, could have been other instances, perhaps. We're not given all of that, but we know who our enemies are. We don't have, in this country, in this time, in this moment, we don't have people coming after us trying to kill us, as we've said before. But man, do we have principalities at work trying to lie to us, and they're trying to kill us. They're trying to take us down. They want people to not become Christians. And if they can't accomplish that, they want you to be the sorriest, mourning, saddest Christian you could possibly be, so that others will look at us and say, I don't want to be that. That's what Christ gives. So we have enemies, make no mistake. So verse 3 turns into a prayer. Verses 3 and 4. David sends up a prayer request. Consider me, hear me, O Lord my God. He says, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So we see this shift here from a real laying yourself bare before the Lord and saying, how long? I don't understand. I'm in the dark. Feels like you left me. To consider me and hear me, which is an admission that God has not left him in the first place. He says, enlighten my eyes. I need to see. I need light. I need light to my eyes. And if I don't get that, the alternative is that I'm going to eventually sleep the sleep of death. I'm going to have dim eyes. I'm going to gradually lose this battle against the enemy, and I will be dead. There's no alternative here, and there's no alternative for us when we're under the gun, when the enemy's after us. It's God. God is the answer. He must deliver. He must bring salvation. And if he doesn't, you don't have an alternative. There's no other. He doesn't say, well, and if you can't do that, at least give me some encouragement and something else so I can be distracted and maybe just have a good day and forget about this for a minute. He says, it's you delivering me. It's your salvation or it's nothing. I'm done. I'm going to be done. I need light to my eyes. And he says, again, more specifically, the context and more on that way we can pray. In verse 4, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Lord, do you really want me to be defeated by this enemy who's against you? Are you going to let him capture me, dominate me, move me from where you have stabilized me in relationship with you and rejoice over your work? Forget about yourself in this. Lord, I can't see them prevail over you. I can't see this. May this never be. This can't be. How could they undo your work? This is what's going to happen if you don't lighten up my eyes. If you don't deliver me, this is the only place I see this going. My enemies rejoicing. And then we see a great, glorious shift in verses 5 and 6. But, in spite of all this, in spite of my feelings, in spite of the fact that I'm not yet delivered, at this moment, these enemies are still after me. I have trusted in your mercy or your faithfulness, your loving kindness, and your mercy. I have trusted in these attributes of who you are in spite of all this, in spite of this not being resolved, in spite of these feelings. I feel that, or it seems to be this way. I'm laying hold of who I know you to be and who you have been to me up until this point. I'm laying hold of who you are, even in the dark. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. So there's a resolve here, and there's a confidence that the writer has. I'm going to be rejoicing at the end of this. And I'm going to be rejoicing about how you saved me from this, how you delivered me from this enemy. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This admission that you have in the past only done good to me, given me good things. You've dealt bountifully with me. I know I'm going to rejoice at the end of this. I know at the end of the story, God will not put me to shame. He will not let the enemy prevail over me and put me to shame. God, I trust in your immovable attributes. Mercy. Mercy, giving me things that I know I don't deserve. I need more of that. So we can trust God in the darkness. Think about applying this. We can be assured of who God is, even when it doesn't feel as though He is being that to you in this very moment. He is unchanging in His goodness towards you. And He will never leave us. He will not forget us forever. We need think about tactically. We have to be as Christians in God's Word, because we have to have that in our minds, permeating our minds in the darkness to say, I know how I feel, but also know my feelings change. This is who God is. God is good. He's only been good to me. Why would He start not being good suddenly? He can't change. God has been faithful to me. He's been faithful to me countless times. Why would He start being unfaithful to me? Far be it from God. Why would He let these enemies, these sinful, evil enemies who want to see His name trampled through me, why would He let that occur? But in order to have that light to lay hold of in these times, we have to be in the Word. We have to know God's Word. It has to be there for the Holy Spirit to bring it to mind more easily. So this is a good thing to do in these times. If you're not in the darkness, be tactical, especially thinking about, new year, new day today. Be in the Word, know the Word, so you can remember these things about God and lay hold of them when you can't see Him. Like in Psalm 23, when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're comforted by the rod and the staff. Even if you can't see the shepherd, you're comforted by knowing He's there. And then I would say, for prayer, thinking about prayer, we can be completely honest. This is amazing that the Holy Spirit ordained for this word to be here, especially these first two verses. This is a man after God's own heart, as God has said. We didn't make that up. God has said this writer of this psalm was a man after His own heart. I think we all want to be that, men and women after His own heart. And this man after God's own heart felt forgotten, felt far from God, and felt like God was hiding from him. And are any of us greater than David was in God's sight? How could we also not feel this way? And so it's an encouragement to me when I read this to be really, really honest with God in our prayer, and lay ourselves bare before Him. This is how I'm feeling, Lord, and maybe this isn't the right way to feel. I'm not saying David was sinning here. I think he knew, obviously, he knew at the end of this. But it felt this way, and that can be real, but we have to take that captive. We have to give that to the Lord. Lord, I feel this way, but I know who You are. This is my feeling. This is reality. Give me a reality. Encourage me with that so I can hang on longer, because I don't know how long. But I know You're going to deliver in the end. Amen. Why don't we pray? Lord, we thank You so much for this word that You ordained to be in front of us this morning, Lord. You gave to David, Lord, we could see where he was in this moment, Lord. It's so encouraging to know that if You were this for him in this time, in his context of enemies, Lord, that we can relate. We are Your servants just like he was. We have enemies just like he did. And because of Your work, we have You just like he did. And so, Lord, I pray for our church, for our members, Lord, for those here who are struggling with enemies, whether they be the temptations that their own flesh leads them into, whether they be the devil at their heels with his demons, Lord, seeking to devour and discourage and bring them down to their knees, Lord. Or whether it be people in the world the world system, Lord, discouragement in the news, any of these things, Lord, pray that you would not necessarily deliver them right away, Lord. You know all things, Lord, but I pray that you would help them lay hold of this truth so they can hang on a little longer and be assured that no matter how long it takes, you will deliver and you will save. So we look to you to help us believe this, and we look to you this morning to be with our words and deeds, Lord, in our time of worship. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.